Michiko's brother was in a foul mood. "Where is she?" I asked, staring at the angry vampire sitting in front of me. I was aware that even though Ken looked human, he wasn't. As in, where is she now? "What do you mean, where is she?" he snapped. "You're the detective agency. Detect." I looked at Ken and refrained from making one of my usual remarks. He was known for spontaneous violence when irked. He had left irked long ago and had fully entered pissed off as waves of barely controlled anger emanated from his side of the room. Peaches rumbled a warning under the table. Ken took a deep breath and let it out. His usual shades of black ensemble was Armani and leaned more to the formal side. Tonight it was a black shirt with red accents and matching tie. The black suit was finished with lightly polished zegnas, black, of course. All this rested under a black Loro Piana trench coat. I guess he figured if he was going to be an unstoppable, efficient, scary-as-hell killing machine, why not dress well? I noticed some of his hair had gone gray, which was impressive, considering vampires didn't usually age. The pressure of leadership and keeping the Dark Council from imploding must have been taking its toll. He smoothed the wrinkles from his coat and placed his carefully manicured hands on the table. In my experience, vampire fastidiousness was only exceeded by that of mages. We sat in Ezra's basement, which was a barely known de facto neutral zone and meeting area in the city. It was used when supernatural heavy hitters disagreed on something, usually the wiping out of all enemies, and needed to have a meeting of the minds without blowing everything to dust. No one would dare attack Ezra or move against his deli unless they were looking to shorten their lifespan to immediately deceased. It helped that Ezra, short for Azrael, was the angel of death with a capital D. I appreciated that he was low-key about his deathiness. I glanced at the end of the table where Ezra sat. He wore a pair of half-moon glasses and peered at me over the lenses. He was dressed in his regular white shirt with black vest and black pants. His rune-covered yarmulke gave off a faint violet glow, and he rested his hand over a thick book as usual. It was easy to confuse him with an elderly scholar, and not the personification of death. The runes and defensive measures in Ezra's made the Randy Rump look like an open-air market. Everywhere I looked, I saw symbols, faintly glowing with a spectrum of colors. The energy in the room was palpable without being oppressive, a subtle reminder that enforced diplomacy. Beneath the enormous conference table, Peaches was currently reducing the amount of meat in the world, one chomp at a time. Ezra was one of the main reasons my hellhound puppy looked more like an industrial-sized kielbasa instead of a streamlined hellhound of destruction.
"The place is the best place in the world."
"I'm noticing you're enjoying yourself. How about leaving some meat for later?"
"Why would I do that when I'm here now? This is why you are so skinny. You leave your food for later. Eat it now."
I shook my head. "Peaches, Zen Meat Master." We were sitting in Ezra's because Monty was magis non grata in the city with the Dark Council, specifically with the DCE, Dark Council Enforcers. They wanted to have a brief and ultra-violent conversation with him about what they thought was his descent into darkness. I didn't currently have the Dark Council or any other enforcement agency after me, but I knew that would be short-lived. I worked with a perpetually angry mage and a hellhound with a bottomless stomach. It was only a matter of time, really. "When we last spoke," I said, "it wasn't under the best of circumstances."
"Are you talking about this small war you two started downtown?" Ken asked. "The kill order she placed on your creature, or the erasure she requested for your angry mage?"